Quest for Truth, Episode 275.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Healthsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts, Keith Healthsley and Nathan Caldwell. They'll keep you jumping around like a hungry flea at a dog show.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and it is time once again for Quest for Truth. And we have kind of a little bit longer show today, so I'll just keep my opening comments short. Pre-recorded episode, kind of a collaboration thing that Nathan Caldwell and I do sometimes whenever we can't actually be on a phone call together. And this week was not a good week for that. Too many kids, too much noise, and so we did it this way instead. So what we wanted to talk about is some of the controversial things happening in the news, specifically, you know, Black Lives Matter, social justice, and things like that. Some things that are really contrary and enemies to scriptural things. In this case, the image of God goes against what the image of God is all about and what that means. By the way, I am in my outside office, meaning the front porch, so hopefully the background sounds are kind of tame today. I don't have a lot of housekeeping that I can think of up front here, other than to say, hey, thanks for her new voice of the podcast. Appreciate that from, what's that guy's name again?
Who, me? Oh, I'm Anthony Russo. I'm the host of Grace and Peace Radio. You can listen to my podcast over at graceandpeaceradio.com.
Okay.
If these guys were in the woods, squirrels would drag them up a tree.
Hey, all right. Let's have some fun up front here. But here we go, right after this message.
Hello, everyone. Daniel Minnick here. I host a podcast called Truthspresso, and I am inviting you to join in. So what can you expect at Truthspresso? Well, at Truthspresso, we wake up our minds every Monday with a robust shot of truth. Let's dig deep in the Word of God as we get to know our God better together. Let's challenge our view of the world as we take apart conventional politics with a fine-toothed comb. See all that Truthspresso has to offer by going to www.truthspresso.com. And by the way, Truthspresso is now a member podcast of the growing family of the Christian podcast community. Check out other faith-building shows at christianpodcastcommunity.org, hosted by Striving for Eternity Ministries.
Now, this is one that is touchy. Today we're going to talk about Black Lives Matter. It's something that we got to talk about. Not anything that, how do I put this? I'm going to try to make my comments as kind as possible. I'm sure somebody might read it wrong, but that's okay. I mean, that's their obligation, I guess. Not obligation. Their prerogative, I guess. That's their choice. And there will be some who maybe agree with me. But this is just going to look at it and see what this organization is. Now, I'm getting this actually from blacklivesmatter.com/what-we-believe. So it's what we believe. So we're going to take it from the top.
All right, here I am once again in my outdoor office. It seems fairly quiet today, but there is a wind blowing, so I don't know how that's going to pick up on my microphone. But barring a wind problem, let me go ahead and get started. I wanted to talk primarily on the Black Lives Matter topic, but before I get there, I wanted to also look at one of the articles that is the statement on social justice. I think John MacArthur famously has his name put on it. I really don't think he wrote it. I think it was written by a team of folks, and he just happened to endorse it along with some other top-notch folks. And it's been kind of controversial. It's been out there for about 2 years, even as we speak. But I wanted to look at Article 2 of that statement that says, the Imago Dei, for those who don't speak Latin, that means image of God. And what this article states is that we affirm that God created every person equally and in his image. As divine image bearers, all people have inestimable value and dignity before God and deserve honor, respect, and protection. Everyone has been created by God and for God. We deny that God-given roles, socioeconomic status, ethnicity, religion, sex, physical condition, or any other property of a person, neither negates nor contributes to that individual's worth as an image bearer of God. So, in other words, being the image bearer of God gives you dignity, it gives you value, it gives you worth. There's nothing you have to do, nothing extra to do, nothing you got to stop doing. There's a definition here. I want to run through it briefly. This is kind of general about dignity, that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. Now, rights and dignity are usually tied together, but human rights can be different in different societies. Dignity is usually universally understood. Dignity has inner moral worth. Now, there are a couple of viewpoints. There's the democratic viewpoint is inherent, entitled, and is cannot be merited or lost. And it goes hand-in-hand with the statement from social justice there. There is an aristocratic view, and that states that your dignity can be lost or gained depending on what is done, which is really more in line with respect. It's not what I would call dignity. It's more of a respect on your merits. There's a Judeo-Christian view that your dignity and worth is from God, as stated in the social justice statement there. And there is a social justice view, which basically says that the individual rights are the most important, to be autonomous, in other words, a law unto yourself, to flourish, that kind of thing. It's not about the collective rights of the whole, as long as I get my rights. To be this, not dignity, you can't define your own dignity.
Now, with all this talk about dignity and image of God under control there, let's move on to Black Lives Matter.
So, let's read it from the top. It says, 4 years ago, what is now known as the Black Lives Matter Global Network began to organize. It started out as a chapter-based, member-led organization whose mission was to build local power and to intervene when violence was inflicted on black communities by the state and vigilantes. In the years since, we've committed to struggling together and imagining and creating a world free of anti-blackness. Now, it's like, I assume you mean negative prejudice type stuff. And I would agree that we don't need that.
Yeah, that right there, I think, is the core of what Black Lives Matter's movement is all about, is intervening when they have perceived violence done to them. I'll go ahead and say it now. I'm going to say it later. If they're going to intervene when violence is done, part of me says, well, why didn't they intervene whenever the guy up in Minnesota was getting killed by the bad cop? What we understand is the bad cops turned off their cameras, but regardless, everybody standing around had cameras, and everybody around was saying things like, hey, he can't breathe, and hey, get off of him, or I've never watched the video or even listened to the audio. I know nothing about it. But there, other than any video that's there came from black folks, I guess, standing around watching. But that's it. Watching. Where was the organization to intervene? I guess the idea of intervention is once something horrible happens to go berserk. That's reactionary. It's not intervention. But you know, I get it. Their intention is good, and maybe they ought to think of ways to intervene and intercept rather than be reactive and reactionary.
Anyway, continuing, where every black person has the social, economic, and political power to thrive. Now, social, economic, and political power to thrive. Where everyone, every black person has the social, economic, and political power to thrive. Now, here is a slight thing that I was thinking about just not too terrible long ago. Is, do you want them to have, and listen, I'm not anti-black. I'm not. As a matter of fact, I think it's disgusting when people are. But I'm thinking about, anti-socialism, I guess. I don't want a socialistic society. I think that a person who is not willing to put forth the effort should not be rewarded. I think that I would rather see a world where every person, black or otherwise, has the social, economic, and political, this is closer to what I would think, opportunities. You have to, in other words, give you the tools to make your life what you want of it. And if you want to go higher, then you need to be willing to earn it. You need to be willing to work for it. If you don't want to go higher, then you don't work for it, and you don't get the same social, economic, and political power.
Every black person has social, economic, and political powers to connect black people from all over the world. Well, good luck on that one. White people across the world aren't connected. But hey, I get your point. You want to have solidarity, unification all around the world. That's great.
continue. Black Lives Matter began as a call to action in response to state-sanctioned violence and anti-black racism. Well, I want to say, how long ago was Black Lives Matter started? And was it really state-sanctioned, or was it one or two people that determined to act against blacks incorrectly and badly and evilly? Because in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but in my opinion, if it's one or two people, that's not state sanctioned. Now, if an entire state, I assume that's what you mean by state sanctioned, unless you mean local law enforcement sanctioned, but that's, I don't know how you would call that state sanctioned. You see what I'm saying? So, is the violence against black people, or for that matter, any other group, is it state-sanctioned, or is it one or two people that are part of the state acting evilly or wrongly or incorrectly? It's something to think about. I don't know. I can't go any further there because I don't know, because there are no examples here that I know. Oh, yes, there are. Yes, there are. They go into, I'm just skimming down now. Trayvon Martin, the death of him and the subsequent acquittal of his killer, George Zimmerman. Now listen to this. And inspired by the 31-day takeover of the Florida State Capitol by Power U and the Dream Defenders. Wait, you were inspired by a flagrant illegal activity. Or at least that's what it sounds like, a takeover. That don't sound good. Takeover of the Florida State Capitol. That sounds hostile to me. That sounds violent. I thought you were anti-violent. Later, we set out, they say, together on the Black Lives Matter Freedom Ride to Ferguson in search of justice for Mike Brown and all of those who have been torn apart by state-sanctioned violence and anti-black racism. Now, I'm against anti-black racism. I question whether violence is state-sanctioned. You understand? I hope somebody out there understands what I'm trying to say here. Just because one or two people does evil does not mean the evil is state-sanctioned. Let me give you an example of state-sanctioned racism, and I realize it's not black racism, but it's still racism nonetheless. When Adolf Hitler decides he wants to kill all the Jews, that's state-sanctioned racism. That's state-sanctioned anti-Semitic racism. When a country says they want to wipe Israel off the face of the map, that's state-sanctioned racism. So I question that phrase. I will continue. Through the movement and relationship building, we have also helped catalyze our movement and shifted culture with an eye toward the dangerous impacts of anti-blackness. Now, anti-blackness. Can we not just say racism? Because I mean, it's more than just anti-black. But maybe this is a thing that we're they're because what did Keith say? Keith said this the other day. He said when you say or somebody's wearing a shirt about breast cancer and he may have gotten this from somebody else. When somebody's wearing a shirt about breast cancer and you say, well, all cancer matters, you're kind of downplaying the shirt. So maybe that's why they're specifically focused on the injustices done to blacks, because it's a black group wanting to take care of this. So I'll continue. Let's see. Every day we recommit to healing ourselves and each other and to co-creating alongside comrades, allies, and family a culture where each person feels seen, heard, and supported. Does not sound bad at all. We acknowledge, respect, and celebrate differences and commonalities. Okay, that sounds good.
We acknowledge, respect, and celebrate differences and commonalities. So great. Then, because I'm white and you're black, we should be honoring and celebrating the fact that I'm white and you're black. That's differences. We should all be celebrating our commonality. We're all part of the human race. There's only one human race. If you're a racist, that means you're all four humans. Trying to be lighthearted there.
We work vigorously for freedom and justice for black people, and by extension, all people. I like that. That sounds good. Because when you're working for one group, ultimately, it will extend out to everyone else. If you're looking for true justice, if you're looking for true righteousness, that's going to help everyone. So I like the sound of that.
Again, that's great for black people and by extension all people, because you know my short take on Black Lives Matter is of course they do, and so does everybody's life matter, because we're all made in image of God. That's why Black Lives Matter.
He continues, we intentionally build and nurture a beloved community that is bonded together through a beautiful struggle that is restorative, not depleting.
Bonded together through a beautiful struggle. Okay, I like this weird phrasing. Life itself is a beautiful struggle. So I guess you're trying to empower one another and intervene for violence in this beautiful struggle we call life. Amazing. I like that.
We are unapologetically black in our positioning. In affirming that Black Lives Matter, we do not qualify our position. To love and desire freedom and justice for ourselves.
We need not qualify our position. To love and desire freedom and justice. No, you don't need to qualify that. We all, again, should love freedom and justice.
Again, you aren't free? Justice I would go for, okay? Justice I would go for. But if you're not free, how are you writing this? What are you not free to do? Again, let me stop this for a second. I believe that all black lives matter. Everyone. Because they are just like everyone else, made in the image of God. And they are just as deserving and worthy of respect and proper treatment than just like anybody else. And the stuff that's been done to some of them have been horrendous. And if you go back farther in time, you would see it would get worse and worse. But what I mean is it's gotten better. It's better in the present than it was in the past. In the past, it was absolutely horrible. But when I see we are looking for freedom, I want to say freedom for who? And I don't mean, and if you tell me all black people, I need an explanation. If somebody wants to explain, please do. I'm not trying to be hateful. I just don't understand.
We are aware of the different ways we are impacted or privileged as black people. You know, from whatever I see Black Lives Matter in the news, it's never about how they're privileged. It's how they're being impacted. Maybe the Black Lives Matter movement would do better if they would, while things are going swell, to make a protest or public statement or an event or a big celebration of how they're being privileged. But you never see that.
So we are guided by the fact that all black lives matter. With that, I agree.
Okay, now here's where, this statement takes a really weird, bizarre, convoluted turn, and it stays on that road for the rest of the statement.
Regardless of actual or perceived, sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status or location. I agree. All black lives matter, all lives matter. I said them both together. because I don't want to disparage the one. I don't want to replace the one with the other. Does that make sense? I say all Black Lives Matter because I don't want to do like the cancer thing and go, well, all cancer matters. You are focused specifically on Black lives. So I will say, I agree. Black lives. The statement Black Lives Matter is absolutely true.
What does all that have to do with Black Lives Matter? Are you about Black Lives Matter, or are you about this other gender dysphoria, sexual issues? Are you saying that there's an issue with these things within the Black community? Maybe so. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. But this is really confusing to me that they put that in there on one level. On another level, I'm pretty sure I know what they're doing. They're applying social justice, and they're trying to drag in as many victimized people groups for the highest level of intersectionality they can claim. And it just, to me, it just dilutes this, you know, somewhat noble movement, whether they are trying to protect themselves from violence. Great. They are trying to strive for justice and peace, or justice and whatever it was, equality, I forgot how that was worded now. Sorry. They're trying to strive for these noble things, and now suddenly they're mixing in this? This is not a Black Lives Matter issue.
The beliefs may need some looking into. But I continue. I just wanted to stop and say that before I went on. And if all Black Lives Matter, I'll put it that way, if all Black Lives Matter, then that doesn't matter about anything else. It doesn't matter what their identity is or what their actions are or whatever, or their religious beliefs. Now, I want to stop at their religious beliefs. That would be I hope they mean that. I do. I agree that all lives matter regardless of their religious beliefs. It doesn't mean I agree with their religious beliefs or disbeliefs. But, yes, their lives matter. Going on. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead.
Now, again, I don't understand what that has to do with Black lives at all.
That's their choice. We are self-reflective and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift Black trans folk. Now, isn't that interesting?
So, okay, so here they're trying to make this whole transgender thing about those in the Black community. Well, it's Black Lives Matter. You can do whatever you want to within the Black community, I suppose. But, again, I don't ever see anything about Black Lives Matter folk having a parade to embrace homosexuality or trans life or whatever. I wish, if they believe this, I wish they would. It would help me understand this statement, but it just, I don't get it. I don't see what has anything to do with their movement. And if this is indeed part of their movement, it's a part of the movement that I just cannot endorse.
Not uplift. It doesn't say uplift all trans folk. It says uplift Black trans folk. Well, I realize you're a Black Lives Matter group. And maybe I'm reading into that. And if I am, I apologize. But let me, you're dismantling cisgender privilege. I thought you were respectful of all religious beliefs. Oh, no, they didn't say they were respectful of it. They said that all Black Lives Matter, regardless of their religious belief. Okay. But here's the thing. Now you're getting into right and wrong. When you talk about cisgender, what's cisgender? Cisgender means male, female. Traditional gender. This is especially Black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. Yeah, I can't even touch that. I don't understand that. I don't know what he's talking about there.
Okay, Someone needs to describe to me, what is a trans woman? Is that the woman who is transing to a man, or the man transing to the woman? I don't know. Which one has the most violence? And if one has violence, why not the other? So by mixing in all this stuff, you're diluting the purpose. At least this is what to my understanding. I really have to admit, I'm just confused by this convoluted stuff here.
And also, is a trans woman a male that turned into a woman, or a woman that turned into a, I guess a male that turned into a woman? I don't know. By the way, sorry guys, you can't turn into a woman. You are what God made you. And you can disguise it and mutilate and destroy all you want. You are still in your DNA what God made you to be. This isn't a black thing. This is a God thing. But I will continue. We build space, it says, that affirms black women and is free from sexism, a word I don't know, and environments in which men are centered. So basically, they're going after the anti-woman crowd, right? Women are being treated badly in places, and they're like, we're against this, but because they're black-focused, they will focus on the black women. It's what it looks like. Now, if I'm wrong, but I'm just trying to understand.
And is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments where men are centered. Okay, Black Lives Matter men, these women are out to get you. You better watch out, because their spaces are for them. They're not for you. I'm being lighthearted, of course. I hope you understand that.
We practice empathy, it says. We engage comrades with the intent to learn about and connect with their context. It is good to know where people are coming from. It's what it sounds like they're saying, is we try to know where people are coming from. That makes sense.
That's great. I wish that they would learn about the context of why law enforcement officers have to do the things they need to do, because apparently they don't. Now, I think the police maybe should be aware of some context too. There's some give and take there. this the way this is worded is all about women in the spaces and dismantling a man-centered organization. It's not very justice to me.
We make our spaces family-friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. Family-friendly. In what aspect? Because if you're dealing with transgendered groups, I wouldn't call that family friendly. And the reason I wouldn't is it goes against God's word. It goes against the Bible. I guess people are going to have to agree to disagree with me.
Awesome. We're having a family friendly riot this afternoon. Bring your kids. Throw some bricks through windows and light things on fire. Yeah, I don't think that's happening there. Maybe in their meeting, they're talking about meeting spaces. I'm just, you know, being goofy there, of course.
And man, we're probably going to be attacked by this one, but I don't mean physically, I just meant. Is that we dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so that they can mother in private even as they participate in public justice work. I don't understand what they're talking about. Keith, help me. If you know that one, please explain that one.
Okay, if you have a patriarchal system, your matriarchs are not working because they're stay-at-home moms. They don't have to work no double shift. The dads, if there's fathers in the home, will be doing that. So if you want to dismantle the patriarchal system you currently have, where dads are not in the home, Okay. But I'm not sure that this is what this is talking about. They want to... This is like double talk here. They want to get rid of fathers in the home so that mothers who work double shifts and raise kids can continue social justice work. I don't see where this is going. It's like you need to bring your dads in. You need to bring in a patriarchal system to free up moms so they don't have to work, so that they do have time for their social justice things. I don't know what the purpose of that is. Somebody really needs to explain that to me.
We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family. Disrupt it!
Oh, so they are trying to get rid of men in the family because mothers must just love working that double shift. See, this doesn't make sense. These statements are convoluted. They're saying they want one thing, and now they're trying to dismantle the nuclear family.
We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. Well, it's good that you group up and help each other.
It takes a village, basically, to raise a child. You know, and it sort of kind of does take a village. It takes, you know, family and their friends and neighbors and people who they're close to help, you know, lend a supportive parenting hand. But when it comes down to it, it's the parents in a nuclear family that has the final burden of raising the kids.
Okay, that's good. But disrupting the nuclear family structure, which to me is father, mother, child. But the disruption of the nuclear family structure is part of the problem. And I don't care if you're black, white, or any other race. A kid, a boy child that grows up without a father is more likely to do some bad things, get in trouble, and yes, go to prison. A male needs a father to father. A male needs a father to follow. There we go. There we go. There's a blooper for somebody to put in somewhere. It says we foster a queer-affirming network.
Okay, would they want to just talk about all this homosexuals, gender-confused stuff? What is in here again for? We foster a queer-affirming network when we gather. So they're gathering places all about a safe place for the homosexual, I guess. Oh.
We gather, when we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless may disclose otherwise, unless the person discloses otherwise. Okay, I can understand where, I get it where you can't make that assumption anymore, I can see that. But what I also see is the fact that God designed sex to work in marriage and only in marriage. And it's one man, one woman for one lifetime. That's how God designed it. That's what Jesus wanted. He talked about it.
They want to dismantle fatherhood, patriarchal systems. They want to dismantle a nuclear family. And they want to dismantle the claim that being heterosexual is the norm, because that's the way we're made in the image of God. So they're wanting to dismantle being made in the image of God, the one thing that gives people dignity in and of itself. They want to dismantle that idea. You need to be embracing that idea and embracing fatherhood and embracing these things, not all this weird, convoluted, confused gender stuff. It makes no sense. It really honestly does not.
So, I mean, again, I am very pro-biblical values. And these guys according to their own statements, do not seem to be. It says, we cultivate an intergenerational and communal network free from ageism. I know what that is. It's when an older person may be treated badly because he's older, or a younger person may be treated badly because they're younger. We believe that all people, regardless of age, show up with the capacity to lead and learn.
Is that really a problem? Is that really a particular problem in the black community? I wouldn't say so. I would think it might be the other way around, actually. But they include it here.
Show up with the capacity to read and learn. All people don't have the capacity to lead and learn. Because all people don't have that skill. Now, can you foster that skill? Absolutely. And if you do foster that skill in people, it's not necessarily a bad thing. That could be very good. It could help people. But that goes back to what I was saying earlier about people don't assume people should automatically be given status. They need to earn it. They need to earn it. I'm not saying don't help people. Obviously, you want to help those who can't help themselves. But there's a difference in helping somebody that can't help themselves and lifting up somebody who refuses to help themselves. I'll just end the sentence. They ended it. And I read most of it, and I hope that's not a problem. It says, we embody and practice justice, liberation, and peace in our engagements with each other. Who's justice? What kind of liberation? Again, these are two things that were taught earlier. And then he says, in peace, in our engagements with one another. What about with everybody else? I hope you're for peace in your engagements with other people, no matter what color they are. Because I think we should be. I think everybody should be. No, I realize I'm not black. I realize that. But I should not be violent towards you. You should not be violent towards me. No one should really be violent against anybody else. We should all be peaceful in our engagements. Even when I disagree with you, and even when you disagree with me, we should be peaceful. Though I realize a lot of times they aren't.
We embody and practice justice and peace. I think you desire justice and peace, but I'm not sure that this movement embodies it. They have a real desire for it, but I don't see any embodiments of peace in their engagements with one another, and that's a final statement there. I don't know what to say. I'm all for the morality that Black Lives Matter because of dignity and self-worth, and we're made in the image of God. But from this statement, they're trying to add in a whole garbage truckload of stuff that has nothing to do with it. And this statement is all about being touchy-feely with everybody. But if they're so touchy-feely and kind, I'm not seeing it in the protests. Well, let's not even talk about the riots. I don't see it at all in the protests. Because every protest I've known about, peaceful or otherwise, you have to first register with your local government to get a permit to operate at a certain time and place. And I can guarantee there's never been a time or place authorized where you block an interstate or you stand on a highway blocking roads. No, generally you're going to protest around City Hall or police departments in this case. I get that. But to block a road and just do it at the drop of a hat without a permit, without pre-registering, if they really want to be treated, taken seriously, do it legally. Get a legal permit with a legal right to protest. I do want to add one more concept on here, if I can find my note. It's in a separate file here. Here we go. Here is a passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through the word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, why did I want to read that for? Because what Jesus is praying for here to his Father is that there is unity not only in those, or not only in these, who are these? His apostles, his disciples. He currently has, he's praying for unity in them, but not only them, but for all those who are the elect, those who are you know, called according to his purpose, those who are part of the church, but also that there would be unity in those in the world, that they would come to know him and believe the word. So, you know, the gospel message is the answer to this, all this desire for justice. And it's Jesus' prayer that there is unity. And, you know, as Christians, are we unified? No, we're not. Think of all the denominations that are out there, denominations of churches that are out there. We have a long way to go. But we need to be a better example to the world so that they would be drawn to us. Now, let me see if I can find. There's another verse. Oh, I can't find it. I can't find this other verse. It's okay. But basically, the key to having a fulfilled, unified life for Black Lives Mattering and every life mattering is to be unified through a common worldview. And the Christian worldview makes the most sense, whether you're white or black or whatever, because you can be Christian and unified in the body, but the body is one but many members, and you can still be your own member, doing your own thing, living your own life in inner city, outer city, whatever city, or small town or village, and still be unified in the body of Christ. You don't have to give up your life or give up things you like. You can still do those things that are moral and be unified. But I don't see that through Black Lives Matter movement. Not according to their statement on their website, which is where I got that from, by the way. And not according to what I see in the news. Definitely not what I see in the news. I wish they would be more proactive and intervene like their mission says they do, and not reactionary, which is not their mission at all. It doesn't say anything about being reactionary in their mission or in their being violent or protesting. If they're such a touchy-feely group that embraces feminism and weird sexuality, I'm not seeing that. And they need to figure out what they want besides justice. I would like to know how they would propose to go about it. You know, what real honest reforms besides defunding law enforcement That's not a good idea. If you defund law enforcement, who's going to enforce laws? And laws need to be enforced.
If you haven't heard my Cops and Christ show on Lion's Den, it's on Protectors of the Book, and it's on the Protectorate podcast. If you haven't heard those, hear those, listen to that, because I think it truly reflects the heart of most policemen. I have a problem with the riots that are going on now. Bad things were done to people recently. But riots aren't the way to go about fixing it. Riots cause more problems. I work for a company that's recently had to close stores. It's been on the news, has had to close stores due to rioting. There is a difference between protesting and rioting, and I am against rioting. I think this is the longest post I've ever sent in for a collaboration.
That's what I have on this, so I shall close off my recorders.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another for his name's sake.
What's up, everybody? I'm Jamal Bandy, the host of the Prescribed Truth Podcast, where I seek to distribute the truth that the doctor prescribes to the church and the world today. The Lord graciously brought me out of a cult in 2010, saved me in 2013, and in 2017, Prescribed Truth began. My mission has been to spread the truth of God's word while refuting dangerous lies affecting most churches and the culture at large from a biblical and reformed perspective. Join me on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for the live recording of the podcast on YouTube, and download the audio version wherever podcasts can be found, including the Christian podcast community. If you would like to know more about Prescribed Truth, please visit my website at prescribedtruth.com. And remember, this world is full of errors, but the only thing that the doctor prescribes is truth. Blessings.
Okay, and I do want to make a comment as we close off here. You know, Nathan mentioned the thing about the breast cancer being important, and all cancers are important. I did get that from a different podcast I listened to, and I can't remember which one it was. But I thought, you know, it really drove it home for me to understand that, you know, for, you know, white folk as we are, It's not enough to come back with all lives matter when a black person says black lives matter. All lives do matter, but hopefully by illustrating it with, you know, the cancer image that we talked about, you know, it, each kind of cancer is devastating in its own way. And each one is very important to the person who is diagnosed with it. So when black lives matter, they do matter, especially if you're the black person who has that life. And as the white person who doesn't, your life matters too. But we should be appreciative of the frailties of one another and work for peace and not for revenge is, I guess, a good way to put it. So this is some extra closing thoughts here as I wrap this up. So without any further ado, I don't have an awful lot more to say. I think next week is our week for Truth Exposed. We kind of skipped our audio drama. Sorry about that. We'll get it out next month, I'm sure. So as I wrap this up, this is your host, Keith Singh, signing off. And you know what? Instead of our usual musical closing, let me find that audio that Nathan talked about, Cops and Christ. And believe it or not, this is actually a scene from our upcoming audio drama, Dangerous Christian. If you're a new listener, you don't know about that, check out Danger .Heltzley.net, H-E-L-T-S-L-E-Y. And it's just a the narrative drama I power off my own personal website. And you'll find a couple of other episodes we have done. But anyway, check it out. But here's this clip. And we'll close with this. We'll just let this play out and end. So check us out on life-truth.com. Leave us a message. Check out Nathan Caldwell's stuff over the Protectorate. Protectors of the Book. Google that. You'll find him. So here we go.
Walking to the patrol car together, the police officer asked,
"Do you need a lift? I didn't see you drive up in a car earlier."
"I could use a ride." I gave him the address to the church I was heading to next.
"That would definitely be a long walk. I'm going off duty, so I can drop you off there on my way back to the station."
"Thanks. I bet it'll be good to get away from a hard day of crime fighting."
"Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God."
"What was that? Was that something about God or something?"
"It was."
"Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy."
"Is that a smartphone?"
"You could say that."
"I don't know much about that blessed stuff or joy, but deceit in the heart of evil pretty much sums it up."
"Can I ask you a question? Why did you get into being a cop?"
"We pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another."
"Does that thing have a setting for spilling out Bible verses? And is it a fortune teller or something? It pretty much nailed it for me. I wanted to protect and serve, you know, like the motto says."
"I'm sure it can't be all peace and uplifting all the time."
"No. There are days that make you feel like a whipping boy, when all you're trying to do is enforce the law and keep people safe."
"But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed."
"How does that thing do that?"
"It's hard to explain." I looked at the officer's name tag and continued, "Did we properly introduce ourselves, Sergeant Howard? I'm Dan."
"What? How did you know my name?"
"Your badge."
"Oh yeah, your scripture quoting machine there was beginning to make me think you were a little psychic or something."
"No, nothing like that. Do you know anything about Weber Contracting?"
"Are you looking to build something?"
"No, I was curious about their business ventures. What kind of construction do they do?"
"They are probably the biggest construction outfit around. Rumor has it they are tied to the mob. But if they are, they're pretty good at keeping it off the radar."
"What kind of jobs do they handle? I mean, is it all big, corporate stuff, or do they handle pest control?"
Not likely. If they did, it might be something they would subcontract for a client."
"Hmm, that might explain it then."
"Explain what?"
"I saw a work order on Janelle's telephone table. It was from Weber, for an extermination job."
"Well, maybe she had mice. But why would she have Weber do it? There are plenty of pest control companies around who would be cheaper for her."
"I don't know yet, but it's not the first work order I've seen for the same kind of job that Weber was behind. Do you know if Janelle would have a connection to Weber? I wonder if she works there, or if she might have a friend or relative who could help her mouse problem."
"Now that I don't know, my friend, but..."
"You have arrived at your destination. 30 feet to your right."
"How does that thing do that?"
"GPS. Thanks for the ride. I'll probably be here for a little while. If you get your paperwork done and you want to stop by later, we could hang out if you wouldn't mind."
"No guarantees, but you never know. A friend of mine goes to church here. Ask for Bill and tell him Howard sent you.